Hey, beautiful people, this is your girl, Akia McDaniel of Holistically Being, making sure you tune in to my weekly podcast on implementing methods for a healthier mind, body, and spirit. We owe it to ourselves to live life in color and in high definition. Join me every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Peace and blessings, beautiful people. Thank you for tuning in to another great episode here on Holistically Being. Of course, I am your girl, Lakia McDaniel, and we have another great episode for you today. As I've mentioned before, this season's theme is all about healing, and I am excited to talk with this special guest of mine all about healing. This young man is a father, a speaker, an author, an entrepreneur, and a mental health advocate. Dash Hudson uses his online platform to educate, motivate, and inspire those who are thirsty for knowledge in life, love, and healing. He spreads the message to his many social media followers, the importance of wellness, wholeness, and methods that will help us all heal from trauma. And I am super excited to have you on, Mr. Dash. How are you?
I'm doing good. I need you to send me that. That sounds better than anything I have in.
Oh, wow. Okay. I will definitely do that. I want to tell you this, though. I have a friend of mine who I need to thank for this happening. She came to me one day. She showed me her phone. She was like, "Look here, you got to have this guy on your show. He talks a lot of good stuff." So, of course, I pulled out my phone and I scroll your feed, and she was right. Like, I am absolutely amazed at how refreshing you are in your content. You know, it's like you give a perspective from a certain level of maturity that I don't often see from content creators, especially those who are men. So it was just like, I absolutely love it. You know, you make sense, you know, and I don't get that battle of the sexes or competition type of energy when I listen to your content, you know what I mean? And that's what I really appreciate about seeing your content. So yeah, I have my friend to thank for that. I have my friend to thank for this happening. But I thank you for graciously accepting my invite, and I thank you for joining me today.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, again, you know, your content is refreshing. How did you go about deciding to just open up an app and inspire the world? Like, did you just, you know, decide one morning, "Oh, I'm gonna open up this app and record what I have to say and, you know, see how the people want to take it"? How did you decide to do this?
To be honest, everybody that know me in my personal life, they're already tired of me. They're frustrated because a lot of people close to me that love me, they've been telling me to do this 15 years ago.
Okay.
Years ago. So my background is in directing music videos. I come from media. I worked with politicians. I worked with pretty much everybody when it comes to creating content and being behind the scenes. I pretty much interviewed a lot of the hip hop artists. That was my background, and I never showed myself, and I wasn't into being in front of the camera. In the last 5 to 6 years, I was working with my son. My son's name is Naeem Hudson King Na. He's an international motivational speaker. He's 15 now. He started when he was 9. He's been quoted in Forbes as the most motivational kid in America. He's been on Dr. Oz, Good Morning America. We had the opportunity to travel the whole entire world. Namibia, Tanzania, Johannesburg, Puerto Rico, Dubai.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, I've always been behind the scenes. Even with those opportunities, we had opportunities to have our own television show. So I'm not a bait person, meaning like if I don't want to do something in my core, and I don't feel it, then I'm not going to do it. There's no money, no carrot that could be dangled that mm-hmm. could do something if it don't click inside of me and tell me that this is what I'm supposed to do. So at the same time, some therapy and different things that I've been through allow me to discover different parts of myself as well. So like I said, just multiple different platforms and different mm-hmm. that I did not connect. So with 2020 and me and my son finally having time to sit still and not travel and not be busy, you know, that was a very visionary year. It's a 2020 vision.
Mm-hmm.
That year allowed me to slow down. That year allowed me to think. And that year allowed me, along with conversations and then finally hearing conversations through people that, you know, because I have people in my personal life that always called me for advice, that always called me for information, whether it was business, whether it was networking, or whether it was for motivation. Like, so they, why don't you talk? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I'm like, I don't want to do any of that. So 2020 was just a realization of, you know, along with therapy and revealing parts of myself, you know, it just happened. My Instagram is about a year and some change old. TikTok is 3 weeks old. And so I started getting a lot of feedback, started getting this genuine, passionate messages. So, but that's really what it was. It just felt right. It just felt like it was time for me to do it, along with the conversations of my son, because a lot of times our children become our reflection. So with my son, we always quoted, no excuses, make history, you know? So I can't go, hey, I don't feel like doing this because of it. And my son like, what happened? I thought we don't make excuses. So thinking like how many fathers I can impact, how many people I can impact with my story. And that was it. I just made it not about me and what I felt like doing, but how many people.
And that's what made you change your mind when your friends and family suggested that you do something.
I wouldn't even say my mind. My heart was involved. My soul was involved. All of those things had to click.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my mind was an issue, but my heart felt right. My soul felt right. It feels right. It feels good.
Awesome. I've watched a few of your videos where you've mentioned being in foster care. Can you share a little bit about your experiences being in foster care and how it has impacted you emotionally and spiritually?
Well, being that young man that was in that situation, I'll just talk about just moments that registered to me. So I was in one location. It was called Davis House, and I got a little bit of memories. And this wasn't really a foster home. This was like a boys' home. And it had, this is where I first seen like Martin, Fresh Prince. Like, I remember having a teddy bear that smelled like my house, like color. Like, so I used to always smell this teddy bear every day. And so that was like, and it's funny because I have like vivid memories and vivid pictures. And so just growing up disconnected, growing up never being able to connect to myself. So along with foster homes, like when you see that people don't care about you, like when you see it on their face, when you see yourself get talked about like a check. So these were my experiences, you know, fighting a lot because almost sometimes it's bigger people, you know. So just always feeling disconnected, never feeling like I belong, never feeling like I was seen, never feeling like I was valued.
Okay. How, what is your relationship with your parents teach you about being a father to Naeem?
What did my parents teach you?
Yeah. What did your relationship with your parents teach you about being a father?
I don't know, like even just hearing relationship, even though I do have a relationship with my mother, I don't have a relationship with my father.
Okay.
If anything, it's just where I had disconnections, I learned how to connect. And I wouldn't say, I used to write music as well. I remember I had a line, I just grew, I was never raised, hoping for better days. Like, that was one of my lines. Like, it wasn't guidance, it wasn't advice, it wasn't motivation, it wasn't encouragement. I just grew.
Okay.
In the world, my mother tried her best from where she could think from, but like I said, I was about seven, end of six, seven, when I went into the foster home, and I came home like when I was 14. So I didn't really learn much. I knew what pain meant. I knew what it felt to hurt. I knew what it felt like to be depressed. I knew what it felt like to feel invisible. And that's what I parented through. Mm-hmm. I knew the pain I felt. And then I did all the opposite things to make a life on the outside of me. So I knew it was time. I knew I needed to spend time. I knew I needed to share words that mattered. I knew I needed to value someone else's expression.
Mm-hmm.
So I allowed my son to communicate. I allowed my son to talk. I value his word. I value his energy. I value his present. I value the things that made him happy. I value his being, you know, and I didn't really categorize it into, oh, that's just my son. Like, no, this is life. This is a soul. You know, it's like my son was always, he always mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I parented a soul.
Awesome. Awesome. There's no doubt. You seem like you've grown into the man that you are because of the experiences in your past and the lessons you've learned from them. But would you say that you're looking at your son, has your son helped you grow into the man that you are because of his mature outlook on life at such a young age?
No. Because like I say, the world is looking at the finishing touches. My son wasn't that when we were encountering one another.
Okay.
I would say it's the interactions of that. It's the interactions of a soul that's being allowed to be free. And it's the interaction of a soul that's providing the freedom. So we're growing together. We're both sparring. We're both interacting. We're both encountering one another. So like I said, trying to love my mother when I was growing up, you can only love from where you are. So my mother, she never really expressed herself in the things she'd been through. So I never felt love. I never felt cared for. I never felt valued. So like one of the most important things was to allow that expression to grow me. And then my son was like, this person, I could finally love him because he's not like the rest of the world. Like he's not this person or he's not this person. So some people don't love because they don't have a genuine reflection of love. So you have men that cheat because they think women are not faithful. You have women that cheat because they think men are not faithful. Everyone is like cheating on each other with this broken perspective of what love means.
Mm.
Like if you don't give me this, then I'm not giving this to you. And it's like we're trading broken values with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Son was just an innocent love. And I was able to grow because I was finally able to love. I was finally able to share these emotions that I had to protect when I was around people, when I was talking to a teacher, when I was talking to my mother, because I looked at the world from my broken perspective that everyone was here to hurt you and everyone was here to manipulate you. So when I seen this life, it was like I could give this life my all.
Mm-hmm.
Without this life abandoning me. So interactions and encounters grew me.
Okay.
I learned how to love. I learned how to see love. And then life is just feedback.
Mm.
Once you throw something in the world, it comes back. Once you give an attitude, unless a trained soul is on the opposite side of you, like you could yell at somebody, but if someone has emotional intelligence and they understand, I don't have to yell because you yell. But
right.
Most part, when you yell at someone, they're going to yell back. So the world, for the most part, is going to give you what you are, you know. So me and my son allowed me a genuine space and a genuine reflection, because children are just feedback. When you see love in a child, for the most part, that means they receive love.
Mm-hmm.
You see maturity, when you see focus, when you see discipline, that was everyday moments and everyday spaces that was educated into that soul. So that, I learned that at the same time I was creating it. And we were sharing it with one another. I was learning it.
Awesome, awesome. You did mention King Na as your son, the teenage motivational speaking phenomenon. How did you discover he had a gift? Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm going to just say it like I want to say it. Because at the end of the day, like everyone has a religion, or everyone is trying to define what it means to, you know, some people say Jesus, some people say God, some people say Buddha. Like, at the end of the day, we're just trying to define the energy. We're trying to define the energy, the source, the highest level of power and creation. Which, when you talk about a puzzle piece, if we all puzzle, we are a piece of the puzzle. Like, my son was always powerful. He was always a piece of the source. He was always special. Mm-hmm. And the world have never seen what I've seen. I never wanted to record my son. I never wanted my son to be on the camera. That was never my goal. You know, my son was fighting to express. He was fighting to be seen. He was fighting to be noticed. He was fighting to be creative and be innovative. So these happen. These moments happen just throughout the house. These moments happen through communications, through conversations. He just was a light. I say, a successful adult is a dead child.
Why do you say that?
Meaning, once you become the concept of what an adult is, push your child. That kills the child inside of you.
Okay. And
creativity comes from the childlike mind. Being motivated, being inspired, always feeling like there's something new to accomplish, to dream, to hope. You know, once you become that quote unquote adult and you follow rules and everything is rules and regulations and this and that, now you kill that innovation, you kill the newness, you kill the new spark that I could do something new, that I could create. Most people are just copying, most people are just mimicking, most people are just, so when we say parents, most people are just mimicking their parents. When you say people are just mimicking what a boss is, like, but there's no newness to a new mind. Like, that's why when you get creators and innovators and thought leaders, these are people that's just pulling from the core source and root of life. And you never lose that concept that I don't have to follow a regimen. I don't have to copy. I don't have to be in a box. Like, I always say duplication is the death of creation. The minute you copy and duplicate and mimic, you're not coming from your source energy and creating something new. That's why people get stuck, and they fear doing something because they like, I don't want to make the mistake that will ruin my life. But some people never make the mistake that will change their life.
And they're not doing anything that they're really passionate about, you know? That's not their true source of passion.
And I don't blame people. Like, this life tells us that. This life promotes that. Like, from first grade, they give you a chart. Cop, doctor, lawyer, and they say you could be anything you want to be, but pick what's on this chart. Pick who you want to be. Like, I don't want that chart. I want to make up who I want to be. I want to create it as I go. So if my son was being a youth motivational speaker, that wasn't on the chart. You know, my son was traveling all around the world. He made his own chart, you know. But just, I never defined his energy. Like I said, at the same time, I didn't want my baby. I didn't want my baby on the internet, but he just used to jump on stages. I got custody of my son when he was 4 years old.
Okay.
I've been raising him from four all the way to pretty much about 12, 13. Like, his mother, you know, she have her own story. Okay. So in and out of his life. So that was it. Like I said, even though I wasn't into it, he made me a believer. He showed me that innovation. He showed me his creativity, and I had to respect it.
Awesome. Awesome. What was your biggest heartbreak What did you learn from it? What was the biggest lesson from that heartbreak, and how did you heal from it?
Like heartbreak in my mind is minor. Like heartbreak is like heartbreak. That's like scraping your knee. Like my heart has been destroyed, you know, and like I was 6 years old when I was molested. Like, so I wouldn't heartbreak. Like my heart has been obliterated.
Okay.
So being 6 years old, that's when I stopped having feelings, really.
Okay.
I disconnected all of my feelings and all of my emotions to survive. You know, probably would have killed myself at 6 or 7 years old because I was so much and I didn't know how to express what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, people around seeing it as bad behavior and my mother seeing it as bad behavior, but I disconnected. I disconnected from feeling anything, you know.
And
so for the most part, I grew not even having a heart until I was about like trying to find relationships. And then my son, like, that's when I first started trying to use my heart.
So having your son was that pivotal moment when you decided to feel and give love a chance and give emotions a chance and give healing a chance.
I can't say decide. It was like finally, I could love, or somebody I could try to love without feeling hurt or without feeling like I'm going to be rejected, or I'm going to be broken, or I'm going to be... Not saying, because we know kids, especially as kids grow, kids going to break your heart. Kids.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I have teenagers. I get it. I have two.
But that pocket of time, that baby, like that new life, moment did everything it needed to do. So I can't say I was brave enough to, I'm going to just open my heart up. No, like, it happened. And because I could not give that love without letting go.
Okay.
I started giving the love, the minute I started becoming the love, the minute I was holding that life, the minute as when we were in the parks, the minute we were developing, I was growing. And I was feeling, I was going through that opening, that
stuff. Awesome. What would you say is the three top essential methods for healing from trauma?
You know, I actually do counseling right now. So it's funny, like, that was nothing that I wanted to do. It was like, once I started putting out my videos, people started hitting me up. Hey, do you do counseling? Can I book a session? And I'm like, no, I don't do
none of that. You want to be a counselor or a therapist?
I am. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
But like I say, I wasn't ready and it wasn't my choice first. So people started hitting me and contacting me. You know, I tried with one person, right? But it wasn't even like, I was just talking to this person. And this person had a therapist. And they were just telling me like, man, I'm doing this and doing this. He said, the stuff you're telling me and what we're doing, this is helping me. And I'm like, who am I to go, I'm not helping somebody. And I'm not, because we get so manipulated and we get so lost because of marketing, and we feel we got to have degrees, and we feel like we got to have no. Like, at the end of the day, if your life experience, if what you've been through, if what you grew through can inspire, can help someone grow, can spark new life in a soul, then you are a doctor, you are a healer. I had to learn how to accept that concept. So I'm literally here, like, right now, like, 6 clients, and then one of my clients is a therapist.
Oh, wow.
So it's tricky.
We forget sometimes that therapists need therapy too.
No, I learned that. I learned that. I went to therapy and I made my therapist cry. Because I think, like, because I can articulate my pain so well, therapists, they probably see hundreds of people. And then we literally had a conversation. And in that moment, I didn't know I was being a therapist to the therapist.
Wow.
I was how do you deal with that? And how do you suppress it? And she was telling me she'd go to therapy. And even how I started therapy, if you know Tyrese, the R&B singer, I met Tyrese around the time with his daughter.
Okay.
So he was going to therapy. So we used to talk or whatever the case, and he hooked me up with his therapist. So he was going to the same therapist at the same time. And like I say, all I need sometimes is an alley hoop in life, because I'm a person that could get it and then I can move forward. So once I got the Ollie hoop to see what therapy was and to open up, to finally admit that, okay, maybe I do need to fix some things, that opened up. So to answer your question without giving a lot of my methods, because I'm putting a lot of it in my book, and I got like new stuff that I don't think the world had broke down. So I got some powerful stuff.
And I
kind of balance it, because I know even in some of my videos, I say things that people never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to give this advice, like without giving like some of my methods, right? The soul is always recording.
Mm.
Mind is always recording. You know, it's something called epigenetics. You ever heard of epigenetics?
No. What is that?
Okay. Epigenetics is the study of your DNA has memory.
Okay.
Okay. Like your DNA has its own memory.
Mm.
So even when you think of your parents, you don't only get their nose. You don't only get their eyes. Sometimes you get their emotional trait. Sometimes you get their pain. Sometimes you get, and I'll break down this. This is a study that scientists or whatever the case, and they call it the cherry blossom experiment.
Okay.
So what they did was they had a cage. They designed a cage, and with this cage, it had electric currents on the bottom of the cage. Okay. So what they did was put male rats inside the cage, and as they let the male rats grow,
mm-hmm.
every now and then they would turn electricity. So they would turn on the electricity, and the rats will start hopping around and jumping when they turned on the electricity. But every time they turned on the electricity, they would release the smell of cherry blossoms.
Oh, wow.
So those two things coincided with one another.
Okay.
Electricity and cherry blossoms. So they could do this with the process of the male rats being in the cage. So after a while, they took the male rats out of the cage and they put female rats in the cage. And what they didn't release electricity. All they did was release the smell of cherry blossoms.
Mm.
So after a while, they put the male rats in the cage with the females,
mm-hmm.
allowed them to mate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
After that, while they was going through that process, they didn't release the electricity. They just released the smell of cherry blossoms. So they removed the male rats. They allowed the female rats to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
Gave birth. They removed the mothers. So the rats didn't have any contact with the fathers or the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So as they grew, the scientists just released the smell of cherry blossoms, and the babies jumped around like they were being
like the mother. Okay, yeah, like they were being educated.
Is the science that behavior was mimicked in their parents? Released the electricity when they made it. They didn't meet. It was nothing passed down through a rat conversation or whatever the case.
Yeah.
So, and it's a great book called "It Didn't Start with You," and it talks about epigenetics. So that's one thing that I'm big on, and something that helped me understanding that every word, just like DNA, every word have a picture and an emotion attached to it.
Okay.
Every word, and I'm gonna show you what I mean. Right.
Mm-hmm.
To make up a new word that you never heard before.
Make up a new word?
Make up a new word you never heard before. Don't overthink it. You could put two words together. Just make up a
new word. Stereophonics. Is that a word? No, I don't know.
That's two words. That's real. Stereophonics. You make up a new word.
Give another one.
You never gave me a word you made up. Stereophonics.
Okay.
Give me a new word.
A new word.
So even with you seeing how hard this is, you're like, this is gonna prove my point. But make up a new word you never heard before.
Flabbergation.
Why you keep making that word?
That's a word too.
Flabbergation. It's like flabbergation. Just take gation. Okay? Just take gation.
Gation. Okay, gation.
Okay. Now, what does that word look like?
I think of happiness and stationary when I hear that word.
Okay, but look. But you see how you don't have any picture for that word?
Right.
Because it's not stored in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I mean by that. What does a basketball look like?
A round orange.
Bird basketball look like?
The little plastic.
Look, you said it, basketball, right?
So yeah.
Refrigerator.
The refrigerator, long, white, okay. Rectangular, yeah.
But you see, even though we're talking about objects, these are just words.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever there's an object, we give it a signal. So basketball is a word they attach to a symbol.
Okay.
Or an object.
So okay.
Every word you use is programmed for an object or emotional moment.
Mm.
So a lot of people think they're stuck and they're trapped in life. What they're trapped in is the pictures that's attached to the words that they speak.
Mm. Okay.
When I say love and you say love, if I was in a room full of people and I told them to draw the picture that attached to love in their head,
mm-hmm.
So people, pictures would not be pleasant.
And
you can find it's going to be a correlation between the people that loves look like heartbroken and heartbreaking, and then they're going to be like, I'm not in a relationship and I can't do, because that picture and emotion that they have attached to that word is not benefiting them.
Yeah.
Same as family. You know, for me, molestation was that. Molestation. Whenever I said molestation,
mm-hmm.
I pictured the day, I pictured the moment, because, you know, sometimes when we go through trauma and traumatic events, it creates like a photographic memory in our mind.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
that is the key to understanding that you have to edit your words.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I say molestation, I see a mountain. I see myself on a mountain and I see myself conquering my fears. I no longer allow that word to take me to a trigger. I no longer allow that word to take me to a broken space inside myself.
I like that.
So that's something I teach, and that's like an exclusive thing in my thing. And I teach people how to go on the process of editing their words.
I guess that's kind of along the lines of just being able to not forget, but forgive those you encounter and it give you an unpleasant experience. You know, I know personally me, I just went through something traumatic, but instead of holding on to the anger and resentment, I decided to forgive because I don't want to hold on to that anger and block my blessings for the future. You know what I mean? So would you think that's kind of like the same thing? Is when I'm thinking about love, I'm thinking of the love that I could have, that the love that I feel like I deserve, as opposed to the what I thought I had before. Would you think that's kind of the same thing?
It's similar. It's similar. It's the thing about therapy and the thing about re-educating the mind. It's just about finding a successful pattern for you. You know, because that's what a mindset is. Your mind is set. So whatever you need to redirect, retrain, reframe your mind, whatever. Some people have their own inner strategies. So whatever brings you freedom. Like I just put up a clip and great speaker. I'm sorry that I don't know his name at the moment. But he was talking about the difference between alone and lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Being alone is great. Being alone is beneficial. Understanding what it means to have solitude.
Right.
But being lonely means you're longing for something.
Right. Right.
You need company, or you need something in your space, because you don't want to deal with you. And if you don't value your company, how can you invite people in your world to a chaos that you don't even appreciate?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
It's many different methods when it comes to balancing the mind, and they're all needed, because that's all adjusting your mind is, you know, because there will be traumatic events. There will be moments that devastate you. There will be moments that you can't shake off, but the key is finding a solution. So along with me even making my videos, a lot of that is talk therapy. You know, emotions is energy and motion.
Mm-hmm.
Understand. You are alive, understanding you are breathing, understanding expression is key. So sometimes we have trapped emotions and trapped trauma because we don't express ourselves enough. So that is very important, to allow yourself to be heard, allow yourself to talk, allow yourself to communicate, allow yourself to talk about moments that give you triggers, because it will allow you the rotation of emotions and expressions, and you know that brings you closure. That brings you peace.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We talked a few. We mentioned therapy a few times. Do you think there's a lot of us in the Black community not seeking therapy? And if you think that is, why is that? Why do you think there's not a lot of us in the Black community seeking therapy?
Because therapy is associated with talking and expressing yourself. So why would people go to therapy and talk to a stranger when people don't talk to their mother?
Mm.
Talk to their father.
Yeah.
Parents.
Yeah.
I always say household.
Mm-hmm.
The way you are produced is going to have a major impact on your mind. So the way you were cultivated, the way you were raised, the way you were taught, the way you were trained, the way you were developed, that's going to have a hold on you for the rest of your life. So if you never talk to your father, if you never talk to your mother, and that was forbidden and banned in your house, why would you go outside your house and think that's okay? So all the Black community is doing is being a reflection of their households.
Absolutely. If you had the ability, what would you tell your younger self?
That's what I made my therapist cry. Like, she told me to write a letter to my younger self. Very powerful. I posted it on my page. I basically told myself that I wasn't alone. And I told myself, I had a conversation. It wasn't about this me talking to that me, because that me is way stronger than this me. My younger me, I thank my younger self for not giving up. I thank my younger self for giving me the opportunity to be here, because my younger self could have tapped out and I could have seen this me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about me going back with this information, because I got information now. My information saves me. Back then, I was a young man hitting the wall 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I went through all the pain then. And because of that young man is what gives me all the strength now. See, now I'm intelligent, so I don't touch brick walls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think myself out of painful situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The painful situation, like, I had to touch the stove. I had to fight. You had to punch me in the face.
Yeah.
So you had to give me the Ritalin. You had to, because I was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I was fighting emotionally because I did not have it mentally. So now mentally, I'm so soft. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm vulnerable. I'm so, like, that young me was just.
And that's refreshing to see a man actually say that. You know, I don't see that also with men saying that they're vulnerable, you know?
Well, I think that's the template. Mm-hmm. Like, because when people, like I told you, it's branding. So even when we say toxic masculinity, men, like, we have these character of what man is. Like, I don't even want to be defined.
Right.
I'm a soul. Like, that's why, like, we say Black, white, Haitian, Jamaican, Puerto Rican. Like, show me a Puerto Rican cat. Show me a Mexican cat. Show, like, these are just cats.
Mm-hmm.
We're people. We're human. I'm a soul. I'm energy. I'm growing. I'm learning. So energy is soft. Energy is hard. Energy is free. Energy, like, I have the opportunity to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And every space is needed. There's a time for me to protect myself with strength. There's a time for me to be soft. I'm not strong and be a warrior when I'm talking to my mother.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
Be cocky or arrogant when I'm raising my son. You know what I'm saying? I'm not egotistical when I'm showing love to my sister.
Absolutely.
So I didn't know how to, like Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee said, become water. Be water.
Flowing beautifully and effortlessly.
So,
mm-hmm.
Like, man, like, I had to be a softer version of myself to accept, you know, what I came from.
Mm-hmm.
Truly grow and to truly acquire the knowledge that I learned.
Mm.
Like, a lot of men, that's hard. That is nothing but protection.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. Be like a turtle. Tucks itself in the hard shell to be protected. Ego is a shell. Arrogance is a shell. You know, that hardness of a man. Whenever you see a man be hard and be aggressive, that's a shell. Be hurt. He's protected.
What would you say to someone, or what would you advise someone who is struggling to heal from trauma right now? There's someone who's watching the show and they're having a hard time getting to their place in their life. What would you tell them?
Stop running away from your shadow.
And absolutely.
This is what I mean by that. If you ever see a shadow on the ground, the more you walk away from it, the bigger it gets. When you walk towards a shadow, it gets smaller. So whatever your pain is, whatever your trials and tribulations are, whatever your fight is, stop running away from it. The pain you feel, the anxiety, the voices you hear, the noise in your soul is communicating. So if you think about a cell phone, if you stop answering your cell phone today, and let's say you answer it up 2 months later, You'll have a lot of messages, you'll have a lot of calls, you'll have updates from Instagram, from Facebook. So now when you open your phone, you're gonna have so many messages and so much overflow, you're not gonna know what to open up first and who to call and who to respond to. So like the phone, it's so many people out there that's not answering the messages inside their soul. Now you have an overflow of messages, you have an overflow of communications from the world, communications from feelings and emotions. And the more you ignore and don't pick up and don't respond, now you're just being overwhelmed. So allow yourself to find solitude, to find peace. Sit still. Turn your TV off. Turn the phone off. Stop distracting yourself and meet your problems head on. Problems only mean you're alive.
Absolutely.
When people are in the coffin, they're not screaming or complaining anymore. So as long as you're breathing, as long as you're conscious, you will have problems. But problems don't mean it's the end. Allow yourself to educate yourself in your problems and allow yourself to start to respond to your triggers. So for me, you know, I was molested at 6. First person I told was my son's mother. That was probably about 26, 27. So I held that in that long. So any other messages my soul was trying to get, like, and that was the development stages of me as a young man. So I was in prison emotionally, prison mentally. So that's what destroyed a lot of my growth and development. So when you hold in your emotional pain, your mental pain, all of your pains, all of your anxiety, you're trapping yourself. And this is why you can't grow and feel correctly, and you're occupied. So when a lot of people try to get in relationships, and you say, and you think you're single, you're not single if you're not emotionally available. Relationship with your pain, your inner trauma, and not even available for yourself. So that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's about opening up. It's about allowing yourself to answer the messages that's going on inside your soul.
That's an awesome, awesome advice. When it comes to relationships and dating, what would you say is the most significant thing that both men and women should understand about each other if you want to make it work?
I believe that is no such thing as two relationships.
Okay.
It's just one. And every relationship starts with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like,
you genuinely love yourself, if you genuinely value yourself, then the love and the pure love you have for you will never allow you to hurt and discredit, dismiss, abuse, and impact someone emotionally without it bothering you. So there's so many people that don't know how to correct themselves. So many people that's broken, you know, and I always say help can't help help. It's broken people that don't know or don't realize they need help. And like I told you, alone and lonely. It's people that's going in relationships because they're lonely. It's people that's going in relationships because they want attention. It's people going in relationships because they're void of something. And they're not going in relationships to find companionship, to find someone to build with, to grow with. So they have a contaminated version of love. It's contaminated. It's poison. The ingredients inside the love that they're trying to share is corrupted. So it's just like plugging your phone into a computer with a virus. Now the foam has a virus. So you have to make sure the relationship with yourself is correct. You have to make sure that you're balanced. You have to make sure that you're in harmony with yourself. So if the relationship with you is corrupt, there's no way you can be in a relationship with someone else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, that was great, Mr. Hassan. I appreciate you. We do a game here on Holistically Being. We call it word association game. So basically, I will say a word and you reply with a word, the first word that comes to your mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. First word is life.
Love.
Fear.
Emotion.
Love.
Happiness.
Heal.
Heal. Heal. What words come on? Heal.
Can't believe you're stuck with that one.
that heal. I don't know. Pill.
Okay. Yellow.
Green.
Water.
Life.
Music.
Melody.
Peace.
Fulfillment.
Heart.
Mind.
Sex.
Connection.
Energy.
Vibration.
Time.
Wealth.
Desire.
Understanding.
Rich.
You said rich?
Mm-hmm.
Organic.
Dash. Mm-hmm.
Life.
Yes. Awesome. What's next for you? I know you mentioned something about a book earlier. Tell us a little bit more about that. When that's going to come out.
Me and my son, we already pretty much participated in his first book. That book is on Amazon. We Are All Kings.
Okay.
We actually were supposed to be in the middle of like five books because we have an amazing concept. But literally, I let him enjoy the summer. And I was in here building what I'm building literally in 3 weeks on TikTok. So we have a book series. I have a lot of books, and it's crazy because I'm working on a book. I can't really say the title, but it's basically about my life and then my son, what our lives did for one another.
And okay.
It was going to be like a self-help development book for young men, but also a motivational piece. And I also have books, for like my clients in the therapy space, because let me tell you, like, I live with two minds. You know, I grew up, I didn't know how to read till I was like 17, 18. I grew up with a diploma that I couldn't even read. So being that young, I always had to be witty. I had to be creative in school or whatever the case. Even though I didn't know the hands-on work. But I always had like a creative, ingenious way to think, you know. Mm-hmm. So along with growing up now, doing research, studying, traveling the world, watching hundreds of documentaries, so now I have a vast mind and I have a quote unquote shallow mind, but my shallow mind, I realize that's where all my creativity and genius come from.
The young
man and the young kid that couldn't read and write, that's where all my innovation is. So my communication comes from taking big thoughts and big concepts and making it digestible for the world.
Mm, okay. So this
is what I think gives me like a unique way to express myself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like my book. My book and the concepts that I'm working on, I think it's going to be so new.
Mm-hmm.
New to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. But awesome. To be honest, like I always say, it's nothing like seeing your imagination in person. I seen my son's future before it happened. Like, mm-hmm. like what I'm developing is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's infinite. And I always used to say chasing my potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like my potential and what I could be is meeting me, because it's like, even like I said, with TikTok, in 3 weeks, I'm at like 30,000 people, almost like 600,000 views on it. It was like, these people like, who are you? And they look at me. I'm like, I don't want, I just started to do this. So it was like, It's like, that's just a sign of the world is already waiting, that people need it. And
so yeah.
Yeah. So now it's like that. It's like me introducing myself to that part of me and just making sure that I really want to do it, making sure that I'm ready. And I don't think I could even prepare to be ready, but I'm just meeting it. I'm meeting myself halfway. So.
Awesome. Awesome. And I so appreciate you for joining me today. Tell everyone where they can reach you. I'm pretty sure those who don't have TikTok, they're going to want to download that app tonight. Just follow you. Yeah, so just, tell them your, well, I mean, it says right here, it says IG-Hudson.
Yeah, right there. TikTok for now. I made a YouTube, but all I'm doing is just taking the TikTok and Instagram stuff and putting it on there. So I'm going to be producing exclusive content for YouTube. And I'm talking to people, like, so it's people reaching out to me. Even though, like, my background is directing, marketing, I could literally build my whole brand up. But I want to make sure, like, everything makes sense. So, like, YouTube, I haven't started exclusive stuff, but you can find the TikTok stuff and everything on there. And it's literally building. I think it's like 40 people on YouTube. But building, everything's growing. And the funny thing about my son's journey, like I said, like, my son was on Good Morning America, Dr. Oz, Little Big Shots, all these big shows. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be taking part in some of these shows. And my son is kind of actually taking a break. He was homeschooled his whole life, so he want to go back to school.
Okay.
So funny and weird, but so I'm the reverse. Like, I'm kind of going to be doing everything. And
okay.
Be able to catch me on these shows and just different things. So just look out for me. You'll see me.
Awesome. Awesome sauce. And I want to thank you for joining me today, Mr. Hudson. Much continued success in all that you do. And just keep inspiring the people, because we all need it.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Not for granted. Thank you for your platform.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone who's joined us today and will join us later when we press the play button. Be sure to join me again this Sunday around the same time. And remember, keep living life in color and in high definition. Until next time, beautiful people, take care. Peace.
Peace.